Okay, just before I do that, I want to pray. I just had one of my greatest friends over there, Veronica. Everyone knows how much I admire her.
Your family friend.
Thank you, Bob. So she just said she likes to pray about Venezuela. She comes from there. It's a little bit better. No, I'm not going to say it. But Venezuela's having a lot of trouble at the moment. So I'm just going to pray for Venezuela. And do you know what? It fits in what God wants to say today. Father God, I thank you that you have a victory. Yeah. I thank you that our God reigns.
Yeah.
I thank you that you are the greatest.
Yeah.
I thank you for all that you are. And Father God, I have utmost confidence in putting Venezuela in your hands. Because you know what goes on there, you are in charge of what goes on there, and Father God, we pray that you will overcome in that place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know what? People were asking, what are you going to speak about? What are you going to speak about, Bob? And a few weeks ago, when I was asked to come this week, I just got the word from God, cheerleading.
Like
it
doesn't seem to.
Yeah, I know, the pom-poms, mate. But, you know, it's so needed.
It
couldn't have been more timely. And it's been a weird morning because, God's overcome. Because the technology lets you down sometimes and it gets in the way. But, you know, things are... He's winning.
Yeah.
And he's won.
Yeah.
And nothing can get in the way of what he wants to do and what he wants to say. And I love all those testimonies that we had earlier on. Because that's cheerleading, guys. That's cheerleading. That's what encourages.
Yeah.
Just a little story. Way back in the midst of time, I unbelievably, for such a, I know I'm very small and whatever, but I actually beat the school age group record for running a mile.
Right.
And I did it at the University of London Arena at Motspur Park. Now, it was packed, okay, it was a big area meeting of different schools, and I was on the third lap. The last lap, the fourth lap. And I'm just coming round the final bend. I'm about third, and I am wiped. You know, I've put everything into it. It's a single track, like the old days single track. And they used to say, you don't run on it, you run in it. And my spikes seem to be grinding into this stuff. And I was ready just to say, oh, that's it. I've had enough. I've done all right. I could hear people behind me coming up, and I thought, oh, who cares? I'm done. Now, it was a huge crowd there. You know, the place was absolutely stacked full of people. And my schoolmates were way back the other side of the arena. I couldn't hear them at all. Now, I wasn't wearing my school athletic vest. I was wearing Mitchell Athletic Club vest that I had. Because I'd mislaid my school one, so I just put that one on. Yeah, it's just typical for me. Yeah, something's not changed. Yeah. And I was just coming around that final bend, thinking, oh, I've had it. And suddenly, and bear in mind, this is 50 years ago, and I've not forgotten. It's an important fact. 50 years ago, and I can still almost in my head hear the, someone shouting, come on, Mitchum! At that very moment that I was thinking, and it just lifted me.
Yeah.
And I carried on round the bend, down the final straight. Now I didn't come first. I still ended up third, but I tell you what, I beat the school mile
record.
And I wouldn't have done that if that person had shouted and done.
Imagine.
Do you know, what we speak into people's lives, what we say into people's lives, lives. Okay? 50 years later, I can remember that, and it made a difference to me. And there are people here who have had the same kind of experience, but also you can have that negative experience as well. You know what I mean? Some people have been jeered at rather than cheered on.
Yeah.
We don't want to jeer, we want to cheer, okay? Bear in mind that there are people here, I know this, okay, I can say this with utmost confidence. There are people here who have had things, negative things, sent into their lives, and it's affected them to this day. We've even heard about some of that this morning. People who are still dealing with things that maybe were set on them or put in their lives years ago. It works both ways, okay? But we're talking about cheerleaders. I've spoken about encouragement before. Because we need to be valued. It's always important. It never goes away. And at this time, you know, with all that happened last night, we need cheerleaders. One of my heroes is someone called Tychicus. Now, I only realised this, I've spoken about him before. I only realised that the first servant of his name is Tych, which will please know without sending me with all the things he says about me.
You're cheering you on,
mate. You're cheering me on. So, the thing about Tychicus, right, he doesn't get many words in the Bible. Now, he hasn't got lots of lines. He's not one of the major heroes, but he is to me. Because what he does is he goes around to the church and is encouraging people, lifting them up. And one of the things Paul says to the Thessalonian church about him, said, Tychicus came and encouraged your hearts. He lifted their spirits. Isn't that good? Don't you think that?
Yeah.
That's what we need for each other. We all need that. We need cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You know, there are two sorts of you know, cheerleaders with the old pom-poms and the leotards and the tutu and that kind of stuff. You know, jumping up and down and doing all these things. There are two basic types. One are the competition ones. You know, they're not particularly affiliated to sporting a team or anything like that. They go for competitions, they do these amazing backflips and stuff like that. They're sorts of clever whatevers with their pom-poms. But they don't support anyone. And then there's the other lot. I have myself personally at Craven Cottage seen me with Craven Eds throwing their black and white pom poms around, cheering on Fulham, and boy, don't we need cheering. You know, we're those ones, right?
Yeah.
We cheer on the team.
Yeah.
We cheer on each other. We're not there for ourselves to win a competition. We're in it for each other.
Yeah.
We are cheerleaders for each other. One of Elaine's favourite verses is from 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says this, encourage one another, and this is the bit I like, and build each other up. That's so important, to build each other up. That's the way Paul wants it. You know, he wants us to build each other up. Okay. Can we just put up the first picture, please? Can I just click that off so you can see it a bit better?
Yes.
That's right. Less than me, more of that. That's good. This is one of my architecture heroes. When I was people know I really love art and stuff. But funny enough, two of my favourite artists are actually architects. And this is a building by someone called Frank Lloyd Wright, who I studied when I was doing my foundation course at art college. And it's a place called, believe it or not, Falling Water.
Yeah.
It's an amazing building built over a waterfall. Isn't that terrific? Yeah. I really love that. I wouldn't mind living there, but it's probably not a decent church. It's not a rising, obviously. My next architect here hero is the builder of this amazing building here. Unfortunately, she died last year, Zaha Hadid, her name was. And this is the London Aquatic Centre. And, you know, we're in, from the Olympic Games in 2012, and that's where they did all the swimming and stuff. And do you know what interests me? God wants us to take a bit of notice of these pictures because of something that was prayed this morning. We prayed a bit about when we had a prayer time before the meeting. And someone was talking, people were praying about it being Pentecost. That's right, isn't it? I'm not that good on these church. But, you know, it's Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, do you know what got me about this? The first picture, right, it's built over running water. And the Spirit is often sort of, I want the Spirit to pour out of us. Let's build each other up into something amazing, okay? Something amazing where the Holy Spirit pours out of us,
yeah,
out of each of us. Okay, just like a picture. And this, of course, this isn't built over water. It's next to water, actually, but it's got water inside it. You know, our aim shouldn't be just to build ourselves up, but to build each other up into something wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to look around at people and invest into them.
Absolutely.
So that they are giving out of that Holy Spirit, that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Thanks, Sharon. By the way, Sharon brought up a lot of stuff. She had a whole lot to do. I want to cheer her up.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Thanks. And, you know, we've done a lot of cheering up this morning. I just want to say, I know this is what God wants for us to know today.
Yeah.
I know that. Because so much has happened this morning, so many things have just cropped up. We need to encourage each other. Things happen, things go wrong. We need to be helping each other. And I'm just going to, time is wasted because we spent quite a lot of time. I'm going to go quickly through the story of a man called Hezekiah. He was king in Jerusalem. And I'm just going to read, I'm going to have to do this fairly quickly, but I'm going to read what it says about him. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. He was a good king. He made a few mistakes, and later on we find out that he got a bit proud and God had to give him a bit of a telling off, but he repented about that. He was a good guy. So everything great should happen to him. Yeah, right. Do you remember that fantastic talk that Wes gave about Joey a couple of weeks ago? Good things don't always happen to good people. And we go over into the next chapter, and this is what it says. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. Do you know what? I wrote this before last night, and it said, and I wrote this. I said, we're under attack. Okay? There's a sense in which we're always under attack. We live in a world where bad exists alongside good, where pressure, difficult decisions, disappointments, as well as those really bad moments, there are good things as well. Can I just say, and this is not written down here, but this is what I think God is about today as well. I was in London yesterday. I walked through all the Royal Parks, I walked along the South Bank, I was with Tom. It was heaving with people. There were thousands of people, I think tens of thousands of people, having a great time. We must not forget that there is so much good in this world. You know, Satan and those who are with him would have us really down. They'd have us forget the good stuff. And can I say that I think part of the thing of terrorism is exactly that.
Yes.
To cause fear and mayhem,
yes.
To cause distrust, yes. To cause all of that stuff. Okay? But God reigns.
Yeah.
God is in charge. And there is so much good around.
Yeah.
And I saw that. And that incredible contrast, in a sense, that there was. And so, Hezekiah, he's done all this good stuff. He could feel a bit resentful at this point. Hey, I've been good. What's all this about? What he does is he sweeps into action. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he intended to wage war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city, and they helped him. They gathered a large group of people who blocked all the springs and the stream that flowed through the land. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water? They said. They worked hard repairing the broken sections of the wall and building towers on it. He built another wall outside that one, reinforced the terraces of the city of David, and made large numbers of weapons and shields. Did you know what? He went out, and the first thing he did was consult with people. Yeah, he was the king. He didn't have to consult with anyone, but he did. He made people feel good about themselves. I can imagine, you know, hey, Hezekiah, he asked my advice. Yeah, Hezekiah listened to me. Yeah, I helped Hezekiah look at that. See, that was so cool, I did that. Do we draw people into things? Do we give them a chance? Do we ask them, do we make people feel good about themselves? It's so important how we speak into people's lives over people. People soon become to know whether we ignore them or pass them over. We need to draw people in. Hezekiah knew what he was doing. He consulted with people, he got people on board. So much so that they will start saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find plenty of water? And they say, they're all cheering each other, come on, we're all in this together. Cheerleaders. We need cheerleaders.
Yeah.
We need to encourage each other. Getting people to help you to do things is one way that, you know, not when you think they can't do it, but give people a break, give people a chance. Speaking to people's lives on that personal level. Sometimes, you know, it means stepping aside. Letting someone else know, giving someone else a chance to talk. Giving someone else a chance to do something that you might think you could do a lot better. But you let them do it instead. Give someone else the glory.
Yes.
Do you know what? John the Baptist had a massive following. He had a terrific fan club. And one day, one member of his fan club came and said, do you know what's happening? You know, you've been doing all this stuff, and Jesus, they're all going and following Jesus. And John said, that's okay. That's how it should be. I'm going to decrease, and he's going to increase. We're not in quite the same position, but do you know what? That's how it needs to be. We need to care more about how someone else is than ourselves. There is nothing, do you know what? As a parent, I want my children to be better than me.
Yeah.
I might be one of the church leaders, but do you know what? I'd rather step aside and let someone do it. And I'd love it if they did it 100 times better than me. You know?
Yeah.
I'd cheer them on. I'd say, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Get with it. That's good. That's what it's about. Cheering people on. And then there is the other way of speaking into people's lives, which is speaking God's word over, speaking His truth over. There was a point where, and can I just say, the church leaders have done something about this morning. And you've been listening to God. God's been speaking into your lives and sharing things over you. We need that. We need you to come back to us to lift us up.
Yeah.
And to share that stuff and speak over things with us. And I'm just going to read the next bit. It's time's going, okay? He appointed military officers, opened them and assembled them before him in the square of the city gate, and they encouraged them with these words: "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him." I'm going to stop there. Okay. He didn't play this down. He talked about the king of Assyria. Assyria was the biggest power on earth at that time. Assyria was massive. And not only that, he doesn't say, this is, yeah, he's bringing a whole load of rubbish on, don't worry. This is like bringing Ivan Lane school football team playing Chelsea, you know, it's no problem, you know. And he didn't say that. He said, you know, this is really encouraging. And the vast army. A vast, that is Assyria, vast army. This is what he says. And if you forget everything else, guys, this is the cheerleading part of his hat. This is your come on, Mitchell, as you're going around the bend, okay? And believe it, I did go around the bend. Okay, this is what he says. "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with you, for there is a greater power with us than with him."
Yeah.
There is a greater power with us than with him. "With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." He's doing it for us. He's there. Be encouraged. Encourage each other by speaking that over people. God is there to fight our battles. There are so many things that we can speak over each other about what God does. I'm going to read that again because it's just too good. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him." Hey, all that stuff going on. You know, there's every one of us has got Sennacherib somewhere in our lives, okay? We're surrounded, in a sense, by Assyria and the vast armies. Hey, nothing to it. You know what? With him, it says, "For there is a greater power with us than with him." Okay? And God is there to help us to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. You know, in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul outlines some Bible truths about Christ's hope that we have and who we are in him. And he said, encourage one another with these words. You know, if you've got something from God, share it.
Yeah.
Speak it home with people.
Yeah.
I don't want you to go away from here and not do the stuff, okay? Because otherwise I might not. Might as well not bother. I know I'm here because, you know, someone needs to go and speak on a Sunday morning. Hey, Bob's okay. That's all right. But do you know what? I couldn't care less unless something happens to them. Okay? And if that sounds a bit harsh, well, yeah, get a little light. Do you know, I'm just going to finish with two things. First of all, do you know what? Some people ask brilliant questions and then give the wrong answer to themselves and they can't be bothered to listen to the answer. But I think this is really cool. Sennacherib hears about all this and he's really put out quite clearly by the fact that Hezekiah, in the face of all this, has decided, you know what? We can sort this. God's going to fight this battle for us. And Sennacherib is pretty bewildered. And this is what he says. He says, and you're going to get people saying this to you if you're going to be Hezekiah's, okay? You're going to get this. It says, "On what are you basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem under siege? On what are you basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem under siege?" We know around the siege mentality, but there is a sense of which we know from last night, and we know from our own lives, and things I've even heard from the testimonies from the cherished ladies, do you know what? There is a sense in which things come against us. On what are you basing your confidence? When you respond in knowledge that God's fighting your battles, that He is greater than anything that can come against you, people will ask you, they will say, on what are you basing your confidence? What makes you act like this when all that rubbish is happening in your life? How are you doing it? And you can give them the answer. Yeah. Sennacherib couldn't handle it. And he just said, I've beaten all the other kids, he says. Yeah, right. But he doesn't realise he's come up against the God, our God. And he loses in the end. That's the end of the stress. There you go. I'm gonna finish with another picture. Can you put up yeah, do you know what that is? It's a slow one. A little story. I have told this to my life group, actually. But I'm finishing this slightly a lighter bit, but it has a point. When I was at school, I knew a kid called Bernard. Bernard had a kind of very troubled life. And he didn't get on at all well with his step-siblings and stuff like that. There was a whole load of hassle, and it wasn't very nice, and he'd run away, but it was my time. And I even stuck up for him when he wasn't being so good, and when no one else liked him. And sometimes people would say to me, well, if you're going to go with Bernard, then you're not going to go with us. You know? But I stuck with Bernard. So you'd think that Bernard would appreciate that, and that most part he did, except. Now, one day he comes to me and he says, I can get slow rolls, cost 1 and 6. And I really fancy that. I used to like, getting animals and stuff like that. I said, yeah, I'll get that. So 1 and 6, sorry, that's old money, but let me assure you that that's a couple of weeks' pocket money for me in those days. And what's it up to? 1 and 6. About
7.5
Yeah. Trust me, guys. We're talking here a couple of weeks on Monday. Whatever that equivalent is for you, I know for you rich guys it's about 100 quid. But anyway, I'm giving my 1 and 6, my precious 1 and 6, and the solar one doesn't materialise. I've got a tank. I made what we call a new variant. That's what we keep reptiles. Because this is a red card, it's a name of the sensor, basically. I've got all this ready, and I don't get it. And I even see Bernard after we've left school, gone our separate ways to high school, because he went to live in high school to me, because this happened in primary school. And I'm not bitter about it, I remember. It's no business at all, whatsoever. See what happens to you when people speak over you in different ways. Anyway, here's the thing, right? So he comes past me once on his bike. I say, hi, Bernard. Whoosh, straight past. He ignores me because he knows I'm never going to get 1 and 6. And I'm never going to get this solar. Anyway, here's the thing. I went to my garden a couple of days ago, as I often do, and I lift up all these different things in my garden. And in my garden at the moment, there are at least 12 slowbirds. Stuff you, Bernard. Do you know what? I think that's a good sense of you. I stuck by this guy. He kind of let me down. I might have thought, all these years later, years and years later, God sent me to plays a bit of a trick on me. Do you know, God never lets you down. Yeah, let's cheer each other with that. Yeah. Things happen in your life, rubbish happens, things happen around you, and God is in control.
Yeah.
And God will never let you down. Let's try to talk. Father God, I know that there are people here who have had things spoken over them that should never have been spoken over them.
Yeah.
I pray for healing, Father.
Yeah.
I pray that you would speak your life into their lives. Because you give us life, and that life is abundant life. In you we are fully alive. And Father God, we would speak that over to people who have aching hearts this morning. And Father, we would also, in the face of what people would try and do to us to bring about fear or condemnation or sorrow and sadness, Father God, we speak your, we would cling to your power. You have the victory. You are greater than anything that can come against us. Father, help us to cheer each other up. Help us to encourage each other. And Father God, we pray that this might be a place where people come and have their spirits lifted. Father, help us to go around the last bend of the track and down the finishing straight, being cheered on by you. Father God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.